Alrighty, hello everyone, welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. It has been a while, and for that we apologize, but it is so good to be back. Dan, welcome back. Yeah. Nice to have you back in the studio.
Thank you, Austin. It is good to be back. A couple weeks off there just with vacations here and there and just some of our own schedule, but it is good to be back with everyone listening as well, and certainly with you, Austin, and looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to get into this. If you weren't here, there was Dan gave a really excellent sermon that sparked a lot of conversation, for Danica and I, just around in the church, and I've really appreciated hearing some of that, so I'm excited to get a bit more into that. Could you refresh our memory?
Yes. We were in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, starting at verse 21. The story there of Jesus and his disciples in Gentile territory, having this connection or incident with a woman there, a Gentile woman, Canaanite woman, Matthew titles her, and she's looking for healing for her daughter. And there's this interaction there that is uncomfortable, especially at first glance, and that's kind of our series. We're looking at some of the harder sayings or teachings of Jesus, and right in the middle of this, Jesus, she's asking for healing. Jesus says, well, is it right to take the bread for the children and toss it to the dogs? And at first glance, you're like, whoa, Jesus, what are you saying there? And so that we delved into that and just seeing the context there and, of course, understanding a little more of the culture and just understanding who Jesus is as well, saw how he was working not only with this woman and giving her faith, really a platform to shine, but also teaching his disciples that we have these walls that get built up, these prejudices or other terms you could say, that can keep us from sharing faith with someone or even have us think that maybe someone isn't qualified or deserving, whatever word you want to use that, to receive the ministry of Jesus very directly in this case, because they want to kind of just get rid of her. We kind of leaned into that and challenged ourselves to say, this is something that goes on, even unintentionally in our lives. And for all of us, we have these walls that come up and make it hard, even as Christians, to reach out sometimes with the good news.
It really, and you know, that's something I think all of us have dealt with at some point, is, you know, these walls that we've constructed around us. And it brought to mind an old saying that I think all of us have heard at some point, you know, but it's the whole concept of good fences make good neighbors. And there is something to that, you know, there is something about having healthy boundaries.
Sure.
And especially in personal lives, it's great. It's really important to have healthy boundaries. But in this context, that kind of feels a little off. It kind of feels like we could almost rephrase that as good fences make good others, or good fences make easy others.
Right.
Is that kind of a fair assessment?
Yeah, you know, there's so much interesting psychology even behind that phrase, right? And so many things to think about there. But I think you're onto something, especially in our day and age, in our Western culture, that is more and more individual and less communal, and we kind of even non-physically build these barriers around ourselves and our lives, just to the point where I was listening to something the other day, just even with, you know, marriages and this kind of increased divorce rate in some of the Western countries, mostly because people are saying, you know, this relationship, this commitment here is really kind of cramping my individual style.
Right.
And I can't do it. So I think you're right. There is this kind of, we just put someone else, you're not in the camp with me, you're not doing this. You make a good point that there are some things in our lives that I think we maybe put up at least little hedges that can be good for a relationship. So most people know, listening here, there's kind of these topics that, hey, you know, when we get together, we don't talk about religion or politics. And there's some wisdom in that at times. Like, hey, we know this is a subject or these subjects that are just going to lead us to maybe argument and not a good time together. So maybe we're careful about some of those things. I think what we're talking about here is even more fundamental. Like, I'm really almost saying I'm not going to have anything to do with that person. I think they're less than. So I think you're right. That kind of fencing image, it makes it easier to look at someone that way. What are they doing over there? Like, oh, that person is probably like this, that, or the other. And we don't talk to them. We don't know.
Well, and one thing I was struck by was that, you know, the disciples weren't even willing to engage with her, really. But the fact that this other was used to teach the disciples, and that really made me wonder, like, man, what is the other in my life that, like, I'm not willing to learn from. That I'm not willing to let Jesus learn to grow me. Because really, man, these disciples had, they had some learning to do in this case. And it really seemed to take Jesus being so upfront.
Yeah. And the lessons, there's probably obviously good reason why this story is recorded in multiple Gospels. Because it's powerful. And as the disciples went on, it took an incident like this to get them to start seeing differently, because this was so entrenched. Mm. Right, Austin? It's just generation after generation. And I said, even biblically, you look at the Old Testament, it wasn't just something they made up. The Lord spoke into this. Like, you're my chosen people. You need to act this way with the people around you. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't something they just made up. And so it's going to take some time. It's going to take some dramatic things to help them see things now a little bit differently. And so it's no surprise that even as you go post-Pentecost, the church is still struggling with that. And Peter has this incident, and God literally gives him three visions. Like, okay, I saw three times with the sheet, with the foods that I'm not used to eating. And then he has to go out and meet Cornelius. And even then, the church is like, Peter, what were you doing? And he has to report back. It was a big wall to overcome.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for me to be like, wow, yeah, those guys, you know, living 2,000 years ago, maybe they were less sophisticated, or no way, Dan. You know, I have the same kind of things. And
right.
I think you were mentioning, Austin, before we came on here, you know, it's hard to come up with an exact equivalent, perhaps, of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, I think you can at least look at some examples that would be similar, right?
So what would you give?
Well, I think for, you know, a Western, you know, like an American especially, when you look at someone, especially an American Christian, someone from the Middle East who's Islamic.
Sure.
Right, from the Muslim faith, because of things that have happened, this is something that's been very much, even subconsciously, kind of hidden. Like, here's the enemy, they've attacked. You know, whether, you know, how much of that is just being assumed, I should say. But that's something that's hard. Like, we often have reaction, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason we talk about profiling in airports and all this and that. And we do that in our lives, too. I think that's one area for a lot of us in this country, anyways, that still is kind of built in. So a lot of it could be different ethnicities, which was going on in this story. Mm-hmm. It could be... There could be even age things.
Yeah.
I know you and I have talked about that just personally, you know, how I can make an assumption. I'm kind of middle-aged or getting to that point now and just have this like, oh, okay, this is what the older generation's like. I can do it both ways. This is what the younger generation's like. And my generation's the perfect one, of course.
Of course, naturally.
And then you, without having interaction, you make all these assumptions about how they are, and they'll never hear this because they're all like this. And and that's... I think Jesus is really in this text showing this is where your walled way of thinking goes. And it looks really bad.
It looks so bad.
In the story. Because this woman is on her knees and she's crying out. She has a daughter in great distress. And it seems like Jesus is just ignoring her.
Yeah.
Or even insulting her.
Well, and so that actually kind of gets me to another question. Because, you know, the disciples are like, get rid of her. She's crying out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, so... Like, that's so moving. If we saw someone like that, we at least would like to think, like, yeah, we're going to we're gonna take care of this person. This person's in need. But, you know, I kind of wonder, do we? Will we do that? And so, because, I know, you know, we've talked. There's some things that I've been working on learning that I'm like, these people and these groups of people that I really struggle with. And so... One of the things you said later on that I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, we really need to recognize our internal walls. These, you know, what other people might say, these internal biases. How do we even really start the process of recognizing when we're being the disciples in this case? How do we recognize, like, when we're saying, like, get rid of this person? And how do we, you know, once we've recognized that, how would we unlearn that, move forward, and start breaking down those walls?
Yeah, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road, too. And sometimes it's hard to recognize without, like, Jesus doing what he did. I mean, he really put it on the table. Like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And I know how you would treat this woman normally.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it the example just briefly yesterday of, you know, the person we might see at the street corner with the sign, you know, says, I'm homeless or I'm in need. I just lost my job. Do you have any food? Do you have any resources? And I personally just shared how I know, like, pulling up to, and I grew up in the Chicago area, so this is maybe even more prevalent there, but pulling up to that intersection and how easy it was for me just to be like, I'm going to look over here, pretend I'm talking to
somebody
else. I'm
going to really pay attention to the light and wait for it to turn green.
Not even make eye contact with someone. And that just hit me going over the text yesterday that, isn't that doing the exact same thing? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to get rid of this, in this case, by just ignoring. Not even acknowledging really the person there.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that's probably something that a lot of people have experienced in some way, shape, or form. So for me, and even thinking about what I've tried to do, even in a small way in that situation, is I try not to avoid that eye contact. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, I don't even have cash, or I'm not planning to give something in a financial way there, mm-hmm. but I can at least acknowledge the person and look at them. Maybe there's a little head nod there or something. Maybe there's even a prayer gesture that goes up or something like that,
yeah.
at least to take me to this person, right? Mm-hmm. There's a person there. Another thing that can come up, if there's a certain maybe wall I'm dealing with, an asana them,
mm-hmm.
I can maybe tell if I'm really reflective, and we have to think about it to be able to tell, because otherwise we just go on with our daily routine. But if I realize, like, oh, I don't have any connection, any relationships with someone in this kind of category, whatever right. that is. Maybe it's, we just use nobody from Middle Eastern background.
Right. Nobody of this political leaning. Right.
The LGBTQ social group. Plus community. And I have no contact there, but I'm really willing to make lots of statements
mm-hmm.
or thoughts about, you know, that community or this group or that person. It's probably a sign that there's some walls there. And I really think the best way to address that, and I probably didn't say this enough yesterday, but is to try and cross that line, find mm-hmm. someone that I could get to know even or talk to who's on the other side of that wall for me.
Mm-hmm.
You never know where it might go. This person might, you know, look at you as a Christian and say, I don't believe with anything that you do. I completely disagree. And, you know, we talked this one time, but I don't want to talk to you again. Or they might just be bowled over that someone from the Christian community actually reached out. We don't know where that might go, or they might be really seeking and God's doing something in their life. But that wall, I think, only can really be worked on if we're willing to engage
mm-hmm.
Someone who's on the other side of it.
Now, when you say engage, what do you necessarily mean by that? Because, like, there's engage, like, you know, I've got, you know, here at the CRC, we've got a perspective on different things.
Sure.
Is engagement like saying, hey, like, you know, this is what it means to believe and live like I do? Because, you know, we genuinely believe what we believe. You know, no matter who we are, what denomination, sure. there's a reason we align with that.
Sure.
We believe that this is true. So how do we engage well if it's a group that, you know, for whatever reason doesn't necessarily line up? Is it like saying, hey, this is what you need, you know, this is Jesus? Or is it just, hey, let's have coffee and just talk about, you know, the Tigers game? How do you know when to do what?
Yeah, it takes some wisdom. You know, if this is someone you're just, you know, encountering maybe for the first time or you don't know well, maybe it's a coworker that you have light interaction with. Yeah, maybe not the best thing to dive right in. Like, let me tell you why you're wrong.
Or here's the Trinity. Yeah, let me explain the concept, you know.
You know, build some relationship there.
Sure, okay.
And like you said, then you're learning too. Like, oh, this person's maybe different than I had conceived in my mind.
Yeah.
Even though I know they believe this differently from me or they're from this background,
mm-hmm.
Those are just things that you learn from. I mentioned, I think Pastor Eric and I were having a conversation somewhat about this text he knew I was preaching on this week, and we were just sharing some stories. And I mentioned, this is going back, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was still living in Chicago, and we coached basketball at that time. We had a team that went through the church, and we worked with a lot of our neighbors there. And we had a couple young boys that were from more of a Middle Eastern background. And they were playing on the team, and I remember talking to their parents, getting to know them a little bit more because they come to the games, of course. Mm-hmm. And the father one time just made a statement. I'm not even sure how it came up, but he just wanted to express it that, yeah, so many people look at us, and they assume we're terrorists. And they're always looking at us, and we can feel that kind of skepticism. And I remember just being kind of taken aback, like, oh, I never worry about that or feel people looking at me that way. Boy, life is quite a bit different for you. And then I'm thinking of myself, like, oh boy, have I kind of given that look or that impression? Or, you know, obviously, you know, I might be doing some of those things too in certain circumstances. So those interactions help me learn and chop down some of the walls maybe there between. Now, we had differences of opinion about faith things.
Right.
We had a different view about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And yeah, maybe that's going to be there. Sometimes we of course, as Christians, hope that people will come to believe in Jesus as we believe in him. But it's all right to have a relationship with someone who's not there. And still, that can be very good. And maybe God will use that as a springboard for something later, too. We don't know.
Right.
So I think you're right. And maybe you have examples, too, from your own life, Austin, of where you've kind of seen, and maybe it's hard, it's uncomfortable, typically, to cross a wall like this.
Oh, yeah.
For anybody listening, it's not probably going to be easy.
Not at all.
You might just have to pick the most comfortable, the uncomfortable spots, right, maybe to go.
Well, and I think, man, for me, one of the big things was, you know, when I just got into college, I was in a class that really challenged my, it was a history class, and we really talked a lot about some political stuff, and there was a lot of different political opinion in that class.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. There was a lot of strong opinion, too, on every possible side of the debate. And I had not always had the greatest experience with different political opinions, you know, growing up. I'd had a lot of people who said really extreme things about me and my perspectives and beliefs growing up. And it really took me actually like sitting down in the dining commons at my college and actually having a conversation with someone to realize this person doesn't actually like hate me.
Right.
This person, you know, they're more, they've got this strong opinion, but they also really like dodgeball, or they also, you know, really, we care about the same sports team. Yeah. And so, you know, making our, I guess, identifiers of how I relate to someone, how we're different is, you know, that's a wall. That's the othering right there versus seeing like, let me, you know, this person, we may disagree on everything, you know, but I'm going to see how we're similar.
Right.
You know, how we're both made in the image of God. And that really changed my interactions with that person, really my interactions with a lot of different people.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to make those connections because, you know, we even did the aside, if you want to call it that, in the message, thinking about how this woman's daughter is healed through her pleading with Jesus, and how I think for a lot of parents, grandparents, they, of course, carry the burdens of their children and praying for them, maybe in faith-related things. And we would do anything we could, right, that our children and grandchildren would believe if we're Christians, you know, and come to faith, be a part of the life of the church. But then when it comes to the people around us outside of those tight circles, we don't, aren't ready to go that far. So to say like, hey, you know, maybe there's just a little connection I can make here that might give me an opportunity down the road, or maybe someone else even, to share the gospel in a way that would convict this person's heart. You know, and let alone, there's a lot of smaller things that we build walls around.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, too. But yeah, finding that common ground.
And I think being able, and you know, it's really tough as someone, you know, as a Christian, like I love Jesus. I believe in his saving power. And so we want everyone to know about this. That's really important to us.
Sure.
And so, you know, we want to share that. And sometimes the most effective way for us to share that in a way that'll be heard, I've found, is to not share it at all right away.
Right. Because that's almost the expectation sometimes for, I think, a lot of people when it comes to Christians, like, you're going to hit me over the head with this. You're going to judge me, so to speak. But you're right. I mean, talking about what we share, and you mentioned it, saying, you know, we're both image bearers. You know, think about Paul when he goes to Athens in Acts 17, and he's having that conversation. Maybe he's on trial, actually, in the Areopagus. And he refers to that, you know. There's one God who created everyone, who created all of us. All humankind came from, you know, from the Lord. All the different ethnicities, and that's what we believe. And so I think we have this belief that would drive us to that, you know. And we could say, well, if the world highlights all the differences, well, fundamentally we're different because you're from Africa and I'm from the North American side, or because you're Republican and I'm Democrat. We said, no, first and foremost, we're all made by the Lord in his image.
Yeah.
Let's start there and see where it goes. And I know not everybody believes that, of course, but at least in our minds, we should be thinking, this person deserves me giving them some value because of that. Because this is what I believe. And I know where I come from. And like we tried to say yesterday, too, like, yeah, we're all that woman. Undeserving.
Right.
We're all the dogs who, you know, could only hope for the crumbs from the table.
Right.
And Jesus gives us life
in
his name. And so, I think there's some good lessons for us. We have in our hands and our hearts what we believe to really enter into these relationships well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think the worldly influence that we don't want to admit sometimes is the walls that go up. And there's times where we do need to separate, mm-hmm. right? Because of, you know, there could be things that could influence us, you know, in our actions and our faith too, that it wouldn't be good for us. Mm-hmm. And we need wisdom for that too,
sure.
from the Spirit.
Well, so then that actually kind of gives to another question I've had is like, how do I know, first off, you know, when, if ever, to, you know, build these separations? Mm-hmm. And how do I know if I'm doing that out of, you know, my love for God,
mm-hmm.
or something more like that's more individual, personal, cultural?
Right.
How can you recognize that influence?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's probably not just a straight, you know,
right, it's not,
here's how it works every time.
It's colored purple, therefore.
Right. But I think you're right. There is some times when you realize this relationship is harmful for me,
mm-hmm.
Not good. And that could be, of course, in many ways, but we're thinking about faith and living out our faith ways. So I know, and I think I've shared this even on here, you know, my family, thinking of my father in particular, who came to faith later in life, there was quite a shift when that happened in his behavior, but then also in relationships,
mm-hmm.
For he and my uncle, who both had that experience. And that wasn't easy, but some of the habits, mm-hmm. and, well, just the things that these friend groups were going to do for fun, they said,
right.
we need to change. We got to live differently now. Those behaviors, these actions aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I might, as a Christian, you know, okay, now I'm coming into a relationship with Austin here, and, you know, who's not a believer, and we're doing these things, and it might be fine. You know, we're just talking about this. We go out, we talk about different things, we're relating, and maybe we disagree about the faith, but it goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
That might be perfectly fine. It's not anything that's pulling me away from my faith or having me act in ways that aren't good. But maybe, on the other hand, it's like, oh, we start becoming good friends, and you're like, hey, let's do this and do that, and suddenly I'm doing things that, in my own heart, I'm thinking, oh, I don't think that's right, and,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, now we're doing this, you know, or we're talking this way about this person, or
right.
It could be a number of things. That's, we have to be, remember, we serve mm-hmm. the Lord first, and we want to make sure
yeah.
we're living in His ways, but yeah, there's, I think, there's a lot for us established Christians too, have been, you know, in the faith for many years,
mm-hmm.
especially maybe in a community like we're in, it's very easy to be kind of introverted,
yeah,
and just with our circles, and so I think we probably need more of the push out right now,
okay,
and just to kind of to go out and try to live our faith in our community more,
mm-hmm.
and yes, that's going to be messy at times, and there's going to be ramifications of that
mm-hmm.
that we have to deal with where. You know, I think in some ways we see that too, like even with the questions of how do we do this in society on the larger scale with whether it's questions about sexuality or questions, you know, with economics and all of that. But just as a church in general, that how do we interact more with our community,
mm-hmm.
knowing who we are, you know, and, yeah. and bringing
and
that.
And get to know the others.
Right. And seeing the needs.
Yeah.
Because we become even just kind of cold to the needs around mm-hmm. us, just like. Like we said with this woman.
Send her away because she's distracting us. She's distressing us.
Right. On the outside, it looks so cool, but the wall was driving that, right? And so we, again, can drive down the street. We can drive through Grand Rapids here and see all these needs, but just drive right through,
mm-hmm.
Maybe back to our more comfortable area. And or you even have a community festival where people come to us, but then we're just going to kind of send you back.
Right.
And we're not going to come to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a challenge for us there to think, you know, Jesus went into that territory intentionally, obviously.
Yeah.
And knowing that this is probably going to be quite uncomfortable.
And sometimes, like Jesus, it quite literally requires going into a different location.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the land of Canaan.
Yeah,
into the land of Canaan.
Yep.
Right. Like, he went there.
Yeah.
You know, for some folks here, he went to Las Vegas. He went to, you know, Sin City, wherever you went. You know, sometimes it does require that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go out into a community that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. And like you said, to kind of tie that together with your question there a moment ago, we do have to know ourselves, right? So you just gave the example of, like, Las Vegas.
Right.
Now you can do this anywhere. But with, like, gambling, if I know this is a problem for me, like, I'm going to go overboard. Yeah, maybe that's not the place that God is saying you need to go. Because that
right.
could raise
not everyone
a lot
is called
issues,
to
right?
every place.
Right. And, you know, and even thinking about, okay, you know, Jesus, yes, he went, you know, with the tax collector, you know, and prostitutes. Well, for someone else, that might not have been something they could do safely.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They could get into a lot of trouble there. not be pointing others toward the life of Christ, but away from it, actually, and going down. So we do have to be aware of where we're particularly maybe tempted, where our weak points are, and where we can really see the work of the Lord. And I think we need to listen for that, too. That's part of our faith, is listening to the Spirit, praying about it.
Right.
Lord, I'm getting a sense I need to talk to this person from work or this neighbor, but I'm worried about this. And express that to him, or talk of someone else you trust, and see what they might say. And, you know, sometimes we need that confirmation. But, yeah, I think overall we could use some pushing out of our comfort zone, because just like the disciples, especially when we've been in the faith for a long time, this is how we keep growing in our faith. We need those pushes. If we just stay in our little kind of bubble comfort zone, we can become easily quite stagnant or be affirming things in our own understanding, walls that shouldn't be there, that are actually sin-driven rather than kingdom-driven.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Well, so next week we're continuing the series in the Uncomfortable Sayings of Jesus. Can you give us like a little like teaser flavor sprinkle something of what we might be looking into?
It's a little bit different this coming week. I feel like the story from last week is one that we've avoided a lot because it's like a really like, whoa, what's Jesus saying? This one comes toward the end of Jesus' ministry. He's getting to the last week there. And the passage that follows it is these seven woes or kind of denunciations Jesus has of the Pharisees. You know, woe to you Pharisees, teachers of law, this, that. It's the verses right before that in Matthew 23. And Jesus says, you know, he's really talking to his disciples, I think in particular here, but he says, you know, words about, you know, you're only to have, don't call, have anybody call teacher because you have one teacher. And don't call anyone father because you only have one father. And so it's kind of like, should I not call my dad father?
Right.
How should I refer to him? Should I not refer to anyone as teacher? What does he mean there?
Gotcha.
And so some of that, there's some cultural things probably in play, but it's like one of those, if you take it literally, you look at it, you think, oh, maybe I've been messing that up. Should I not refer to my earthly father as a father, as a dad? And of course, that sounds extreme, but what is Jesus saying there? So we've got to get into that and think about it. And even in the context there of, here's the Pharisees that he's about to speak into, here's his disciples, and he's teaching them again, here's how you're to lead and interact. And really, at the end of the day, who's in charge of the church?
Who's in charge of the church,
of course. Gotcha. So, yeah, I hope it's another worthwhile time together in the Lord's Word. And
I'm excited for it. That'll be a lot of fun. And I'm excited for us to talk about that next week. Speaking of next week, we'll probably be releasing next week's deeper episode a little later just because of some scheduling things with recordings. Hopefully, it'll still be on Wednesday. Might be Thursday. We'll see. But thank you, Dan, so much for coming out and, again, just going into this. This has been a ton of fun. There's so much more we could talk about, but I'm glad we've had this time to kind of wrestle with this. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Austin, too.
And thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.